Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Let's do this.
Your brother faced with hard luck. Faced with hard luck.
Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Your brother faced with hard luck. Faced with hard luck.
Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Good morning and welcome to the Hard Luck Show. I'm a certified, qualified West Side host. Oh. You know what it is.
You know what it is.
Got the Indian in here.
That's right. Chumahan.
And I got old Blue Eyes in here.
That's right.
Right.
Wait.
Sinatra's illegitimate love child that he can't talk about from a freaky thing that happened in Carson City. And I won't go into why Steve Miller Band plays into it, but that is one of the reasons why he harbors a grudge. So everybody understands.
Hey, I tell you, man, I don't know if it's because of maybe my age and spending a lot of time with my grandson and in turn my son. I spend more time with my grandson than my son. But
what's that like?
It's the shit, bro. It's awesome. Because because I couldn't show up for my own kids.
Right.
Due to my... back and forth incarceration, not being able to stay out.
Yeah.
My addiction.
Yeah.
And just fucking being too selfish.
Right.
And just, you know, not acting like a fucking father and not being responsible and accountable. And so those things. So with my grandson, I've been able to consistently show up in his life since he was a little baby born, you know, basically.
How's he now?
He's 4 years old. He just turned 4.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Michael. He's just the light of my life. But in saying that, and I think in having some conversations, some depthful conversations with my sister, kind of looking at my relationship with him, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is it's having me think a lot lately about my upbringing in my life and thinking more about my father and our dynamic and our relationship and maybe how that either affects or doesn't affect or which way it affects me parenting my son and my grandson.
Let me ask you a question if I can.
Oh, you can, Chumahan. You can.
What would you, if somebody gave you a choice and said you can put little Michael in your shoes in your dad's house, would you voluntarily do that to
your
little...
Wait a minute. Say what? How?
So you know how you were raised, right?
Right.
Okay. It's one thing when it happens to you and you grow up.
Right.
Right? You sort of don't see the, maybe how, not maybe your situation, but how odd or how extreme it actually really is. Until you have like your grandson and you go, God, what if Michael had to go through what I went through growing up? Would I do that? Would I allow him, if somebody said, Michael can either have what he's got right now, right, the way it's set up now, or, like God said this, you can transport Michael to step into your shoes as a little boy and grow up in that house. Would you do that?
Hell no.
Right.
The fuck?
Right.
I wouldn't put my son or my grandson or anybody through those shoes.
Right.
No. And I gotta, because the whole way that this came, this conversation came up was, you know, there's a story that I've told some people about me starting school, and it was the fourth or fifth grade, I can't remember, and some bowling shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big Tiny, shout out to Big Tiny. He had posted some post about some bowling shoes.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There's a picture
that.
Of him in bowling shoes. And right away, it made me think of an experience I had. Listen, my grandfather from my mother's side, when he was young, he went into business opening up shoe stores. You know, and he had like six or seven of them, and then the whole business fell apart somehow. But that was his thing. And so I say that to say, as I was growing up, as I was young, my grandfather, his thing with my sister and me were, when it was school year was starting,
mm-hmm.
he'd take us to go get us shoes. He was like...
Because he knew about shoes and he cared about shoes and he was passionate about
Right, exactly. And he'd get us really good shoes that had,
Kind of things would he look at, like to tell you what's a good fucking shoe?
What was it? Was it have good, what is the word that I'm looking for?
Like stitching?
Arch support?
Support. Good support. Good arch. Ankle support, arch support, like, you know, whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying? Like, a good support shoe. A lot of, he would say, there's a lot of, you know, shoes that aren't well made. And he'd take us to Harry Harris Shoes and he'd get us like a nice pair of shoes. He'd get me a pair of school shoes and a pair of tennis shoes.
What would the tryout process be like for?
We'd go to the place, but he was already an older man, you know. He'd be telling him, okay, we'll get this with the E and that, and then they would just give him the shoe, and then he'd put it on us, make sure. And how's that feel? Walk around, and does that feel good? Do you like, you know, my grandfather was a sweetheart, man, a real gem and a gentleman. And safe to be around.
Right. And did you ever put your foot in, like, in that old timey, like, measuring, that metal measuring?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. And then you push down where the toe's at, you know, the whole. How's that feel? But, oh, you like it? All right, let's put the other one on. Walk around. So
true, dude.
And then I always wanted some other tennis shoes, but we'd have to, or some other ones, but we'd have to get the ones my grandpa got me. Right. But they were nice.
Right.
They were good quality.
They're going to last.
So I think it was the fourth, I believe it was the fourth grade, and my mom and dad had gone through a divorce. They had just recently gone through a divorce. And my grandmother, my grandfather's wife, this is my mom's side, had a massive heart attack out of nowhere. I think she was only 62 years old.
Wow.
And she passed away. It was, you know, she had a massive heart attack. They took her to Cedars. And then when we got to Cedars, they came out and told everybody that she was gone. It was real shock, heavy on my mom. So my grandfather at like 60, and he was like a year younger than my grandmother. So at 61, he's all of a sudden a fucking, you know, a widow.
Right.
So he,
widower.
A widower.
Right.
Excuse me. So I say all that to say that because he was going through all this, my mom wasn't, are you taking the kids to get shoes? Or, you know, just he was mourning and he was going through his process.
Right.
So my mom, who now is separated from my dad, who I'm not really seeing that much, he's just barely popping in and out, says to him, your son needs school shoes. She was kind of like, you go take him to get school shoes. He needs shoes for school. And so I remember my dad was, I don't want to say the right exact word.
Yeah.
He was cheap if he could get away with it with somebody else.
Right.
Make sense?
Oh, I mean, is there any other way to be cheap? Yeah, I could be cheap with yourself.
Right. And he was always quick to be like, oh, I can fix it, or I got it, you know, like, you know.
The bootleg one.
Right. Oh, yeah, man.
Give me the display model.
Yeah.
10% off.
Yeah. So she told him, and so I remember that day. And my dad, and we've talked about it, was fucking a scary ass dude, man. My dad was, I didn't talk back to my dad. I was fucking in fear of my dad. My dad fucking, when he fucking had to, if he had to say something twice, I was getting smacked. And if his voice raised up an octave, I might piss my pants because I knew I was getting smacked.
Right.
And he was easily, anything would tick this fucking guy off.
Hair trigger.
I mean, my mom had the magic touch with him. You know what I'm saying? But outside of that, anything. And I mean, I was scared driving in this guy's car because if somebody almost bumped him or looked at him wrong, or if we're in a store or said something, my dad didn't give a fuck.
Right. World War III.
World War III. Right. Didn't now. Give a fuck, man.
Done deal.
And he inappropriately didn't give a fuck, man. Yeah. Just like all that shit. So I'm a nerd. So she says, your dad's coming over to take you to your shoes. I'm like, all right, I'm sitting by the door.
You're like
45 minutes early. Yeah, sitting right. there staring
no
at the ground.
Fucking
you know?
Around,
no
right.
fucking around.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and it was so funny because he'd see my mom and he'd be like, oh, really? Kind of go.
Oh,
and
no.
then we were trying to go. He'd look at me and goes, go, go. You know, like, fucking, like that, you know? And, like, he was pissed off that he had to deal with us, you know, right. in a way, like, sometimes, right. you know? So we go, and I think that we're getting into the car. I go to get in the car, you know?
Right.
And he goes, where are you going?
Oh,
and I go,
that.
And right. he goes, go on. And we're walking, and we're walking. Where? I don't say that in my head. I don't dare say anything like that. I wouldn't look at my head going, where are we going?
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking in my head, where are we walking?
Right. Meanwhile, the feet are walking.
We're walking. And we take the alley. And and we're walking. And I know the only thing up the alley, up the street, is a Thrifty. A Thrifty. It's where I go get an ice cream cone.
Good ice cream up there.
Right?
Square.
And my dad and me are walking up, and I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, my dad must, because he worked a lot on things. He had lots of tools, and it was,
yeah.
I figure, yeah, my dad's probably going to get some electrical tape, or he's running errands. He didn't tell me anything we're doing. I just go
you
with him,
need,
and that's that.
Need to know basis.
Right. I walk in there, and he goes, and he looks over at me when he pulls the door open, and he goes, they got shoes in here. And I look, and I was like, nah, man.
No, oh,
my
don't.
Head, I'm like. As soon as he said it, I knew what shoes, I knew what the shoe section looked like. It was fucking sandals and shit. Like,
right.
I mean.
For like geriatric people.
Oh, dude, I was, right away, everything.
Shower shoes.
He said that, and halfway through the sentence, I could see myself just getting fucking beat up school. Like, it was from that word halfway through it, I was being humiliated at school.
Smash
all
cut.
In one.
Yeah. 3 o'clock high.
All in one, bro. I just saw life. And we get over there and fucking, there was like some sandals, and there was like some, you know, the shoes that look like real cheap Vans.
the ones I wear now?
No. No way, those are nice.
The knockoffs?
No. These are like the old lady gardening ones. Where the little rubber rolls up the side a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm
they're
talking
like
about, right?
They're like glued together.
Right,
like they're going to fall apart and hit
and
some
I'm
moisture.
I'm looking at those and I'm like, maybe I can front on these. And I'm looking.
Yeah.
And at the end of the aisle, they got these motherfucking pleather fucking bowling shoes, bro.
I mean, there's so many questions.
Dude,
what do you mean bowling shoes at Thrifty? What bowler is going to...
This probably was like when Thrifty was independently owned by fucking franchises and the owner fucking got like a deal on a bunch of fucking bowling shoes, right? That close out bowling shoes. So they're fucking bowling shoes, bro. And here's the thing, like most bowling shoes are like, you know, red, white, they're all sorts of colors.
Right, on the same shoe.
On the same shoe.
Right.
These ones were metallic pleather on the sides with a white stripe that
metallic.
Went up the middle.
Metallic
fucking blue.
What,
like
dude?
A paint job.
Like roller
premium.
Skates?
Yeah, like roller skates, dude.
That's premium bone.
Dude, bro, and there's a white stripe because they're sewn on. And I'm talking about the exact, if you look at a bowling shoe, they're all built the same way. This is built exactly that with some fucking pressed fucking wood fucking heel.
Oh, it looks like cork.
Dude, that is not comfortable.
It looks like old
hey, bro,
cork.
So bad that the fucking size number was on the back of it.
Oh,
on the little
like,
fucking
size. It didn't matter to the design to just put it right there where everyone
bro,
could see.
I was like, I
go
just
ahead.
Remember.
Dig your hand in there.
Hey, and he fucking looked over and I told him what size, and so my plan is immediately when he's picking the size, I'm going to put these on and say they hurt my feet.
Rob, oh, he should care about
fucking,
that.
Right? And he has me, so come on, take off your shoes. I fucking take my shoes off, and so I put that on. And I put it on, and I make a face like, ugh. And he's
like okay.
How do I feel? That good? It fits you? And he pushes on the toe. I like my grandfather, but not. Right?
You're and, doing like an OJ like, impression, like, oh, this don't fit.
I'm doing everything I can emotionally and physically to show him
telepathy.
He is unconcerned with that, right?
Right,
Right. Yeah, it fits. It's good.
It's
good, right?
It's good. It's supposed to do that. Yeah. See that blood? See how it's cutting in there? Dude. It's supposed to do that.
Oh, and I'm fucking like, I'm bummed out. Oh,
of course.
But I can't say to my dad, or I didn't have the courage to say to my dad.
But you wanted to live.
Right, right. No, these aren't going to work, you know?
Right.
And he fucking, he's like, those are good. All right, we're going to get those right there. And he like, Tenny even tells me, does it feel okay? And I'm like, yeah. Like, no. So he grabs him, and I'm like, and he, for some reason, he like, catches like a sign.
Uh-oh.
That's a sales sign on him. And he's like, I want to tell you, I don't want to sound too old, but I want to tell you, I think these fucking shoes were like 2 for $10.
Pairs two for ten?
Two pairs for $10.
Dude, you're like set that. For like 2 years, bro.
He got me a second pair.
It's like making money.
So we go and fucking throw them in a bag, and I go, oh, I'm going to, he goes, put them on. I'm like, I want to keep them clean. He goes, all right. And I fucking go home with them. And man, let me tell you something, man. I went to school in these fucking shoes, man.
Wait a second. Before you get to school, because I know there's probably a whole bunch of stories. So did you go to school that day or next day?
I think that was on like a Friday, and there was like a weekend, and then school started.
Where did you put these shoes while you waited for your sentencing?
Oh. I fucked with them. I fucking tried to pull the fucking number out of the back of it. I tried to like with pliers.
Yeah.
And I pulled the number out and I couldn't get it out. And I fucking just carved it up with a fucking, like a fucking nail clipper or something so that you couldn't see the number.
Yeah, that's the logo.
Yeah, and I think I got a black marker and tried to make the bottom part, the wooden part, black so you couldn't, you know?
Yeah.
It was fucked up, bro.
And did your mom see these shoes?
Yeah, but my mom was like aloof to it. Like she didn't really get it. She just didn't want to get it, I guess. She just didn't.
Were you able to?
Think it was even about her, my dad getting me the shoes. I think it was about my mom seeing my dad and engaging him.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. I guess my thought would be, and you might not have been able to, or the relationship wasn't like that, where you could say to her, look at these fucked up shoes. No. We got to get another pair.
Because if I said that to her, in turn, I think my dad, she's going to say it to my dad.
Right.
My dad. Then I'm going to catch shit for it, you know? So it was.
She couldn't have just secretly bought you some normal shoes?
Oh, man. So, no.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
So, dude, it was fucking, yeah, man. It was, at first, nobody was saying anything about the shoes to me.
Wait, but did you ride the bus or did you walk?
No. I walked to school.
You walked to school. The green mile.
And the whole walk with my sister.
What did your sister say?
I think my sister was clowning me.
Damn, bro.
I think she was clowning me.
Where? I mean, there had to be like one person on your side, bro.
No, man. There was nobody on my side, man. I was getting clowned. And I remember walking, and I kept on trying to pull my pants down so they'd hang on the fucking shoes. And,
right.
And I tried to do everything I could so that
right.
they would look normal. I kept on looking at them, and they hurt. And the fucking, man, dude. And at first, nobody noticed. Like, they noticed the shoes, but nobody was saying anything.
Right.
And I'd gotten through like the first class or whatever and just kind of stayed low key in the back. Like,
right.
I remember sitting with my feet in back, you know what I'm saying? Tucked under me. You know what I'm saying? Like almost, because they didn't want nobody looking at me.
You're sitting cross-legged in your seat. Or I had like a ghillie suit and just hid.
Oh, man, dude. And I couldn't even really, I tried to play something and I fucking slid.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude. And I remember this kid. Damon fucking says, dude, those are fucking bowling shoes. He starts clowning me, man.
Fuck Damon, dude.
Yeah, and I got up and fucking, Damon's dead now, but I got up and beat it and fucking, you know, got out of there and went somewhere else and, you know, kind of started carousing around with guys that were so fucked up that they weren't going to bother me about my shoes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, man, and I remember at that stage in the game, at that age, bro, I had already figured out, maybe a couple weeks into it, I had figured out, all right, I'm gonna put the shoes, some other shoes, I'm gonna bury some other shoes back by the bushes.
Right.
Right? In the apartment building.
Right.
I think I put them like behind or near like some old cans and things that were underneath. You know when you have a parking structure, it's the wooden fucking little garages?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was down below that, was behind something, and I just kept a fucked up old pair of shoes that were at least better than them bowling shoes.
Right.
And eventually I got another pair of shoes from somebody that were like some fucked up topsiders or something like that. And I was wearing those until finally, you know, my dad did ask me, where are those shoes at?
Oh.
I remember I had to put them on one time because, yeah, what the, you know?
But it's then like a ticking time bomb if he's going to notice or not.
And there was a point in time where it got to be like a couple months later and I was able to just not wear those shoes.
That's a major negotiation, bro.
Man, it was fucking rough, man.
Those shoes is stressful.
It and my sister was different, man. My sister, you know, she got smacked a few times by my dad.
Yeah.
They had a rough go of it. But and they'd have these screaming matches, bro. I would just start crying, bro, and go to my room.
Man.
I didn't like it all. But she wasn't going for any of that shit. She would tell my father, no, fuck that. And that, she would tell his ass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that type of courage as a kid.
Yeah, but it's but it's really stressful when you're like you. What the story that I just heard from you is this whole story about strategic negotiation about not being noticed. Like,
absolutely
right. You're like gonna fucking. You try to go to the school. You can't let your dad see how you really feel about these shoes. You can't even tell him like thrifties. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Thrifty. Yeah.
You better be buying toothpaste. You couldn't say none of that shit.
No.
Then you have to get them. Then it's like, okay, and then you got to wear them. You can't really say much to anybody else because it might get back to the old man, and then it's going to be hell to pay. You got to wear them to school. You got to try to hide them when you're wearing them. Then you got to do the fucking French exchange over there at the fucking garage. And you had to learn. This is probably one of the reasons why you're really good at reading the room. It's because you also had to learn, when did you have to show enough of the shoe that it wasn't like you just outright rejected them?
Yeah.
And but then also sort of taper off the shoe so you didn't have to be stuck with it. That's massive strategy.
Lots of negotiations.
Bruh.
And I got it. I think I'm somewhere around 9 years old or 10 years.
That's
like this.
Masterful, dude. You could have been in like diploma. You probably should have been Secretary of State.
Son of a bitch. And I think about it, and I think about sometimes my dad as an older man. And things had changed with him somewhat, but some things had not changed with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, and me and you have talked about this, Chumahan. So I've been thinking about all this shit, you know, and, you know, I remember that I wanted my kids, you know, anything they asked for, I wanted to get them. And it was important that my kids, if they wanted a certain tennis shoe or a certain this or a certain that, I wanted to make sure they had it because I know kids are cruel and mean. And just something as simple as an outfit or the certain shirt or pant is so important at certain ages for kids.
Mm.
My parents didn't understand any of that.
Well, but, yeah, their generation wasn't born through that. They might have been through the last like vestiges of the Americans that were against advertising and all this bullshit. They kind of, my dad was like that too.
They wore hand-me-downs and this and that and no.
And like, yeah, and like, you know what? If you start getting too much into trends, you're fucking falling for a shtick. So we're not wasting our money on that bullshit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you don't need that.
Right.
These are just as good as that. That's a bunch
right.
of bullshit.
It's marketing.
You know?
That was yeah. when they tried that generic movement in the, I don't know if you were old enough to remember that, yellow and black, like they tried generic stores. You would just go in and it would just say beans.
I remember that. Yes.
And they also did, dude, you remember these grocery stores they used to have called U Market?
No.
Where I grew up, they had this like thing. They were trying to cut costs. So the one guy was like, you know what's costing us a lot? It's, we're putting the fucking price tags on everything. Why don't we have the customer do that? And we would go into these stores and they would have like a wax pencil in like a cup. Kind of like when you go to the book bins.
Really?
Right? But it was for everything.
And you price it?
And well, but the price, they would tell you what the price was. You couldn't, you could walk out with a ham and be like, oh, it's 10 cents. But yeah, there was U Market and fucking the
gym. Like U Market.
U Market. Exactly.
Oh, hell no. Me and you had talked a little bit about, because listen, man, I also am old enough to understand through human experience that I wouldn't be who I am without the fucked up shit.
Right.
Like, as fucked up as it was and as much negotiation and fending for yourself and you know, the good mixed with the bad or however you want to put it, also made me able to survive some things or go through some things. And, you know, when we're dealing with a society that I think is, and I'm just going to say it, sometimes oversensitive right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it should be like what I went through, I'm not saying, but I feel like we've lost the middle road even. It's gone all the way super, super, super sensitive. And as much as I hate to say that a lot of these things I didn't like about my father and growing up and I was scared or was uncomfortable, some of these things did made me who I am, dude. Whether I chose to repeat them with my kids or repeat them in life, for me, they built me a certain way.
I agree. We've talked about it and I agree with it, but it's also one of those things where it's like, there's no other way for it to be. I mean, we are who we are because we are a product of what happened. There's no change in any of that.
Yeah.
So it's true. And sometimes I wonder about myself, right? Maybe some of the weak things that I have, the nicotine pouches that I still do, right? Is that also part of a result of how I was raised and the hardships that I was put through? Or, like, for instance, when I snap, right? Maybe my patience level isn't that good, right? Mm-hmm. Is that also part of that? And the answer has to be yes, because that's part of who I am or what I'm working from, right? Mm-hmm. But you're also right because you're saying, like, look, it gave me some strength to get through adversity that might crush most people. It will crush some people. And I think you're right when you say the middle road, because the thing about wisdom and the thing about hustle memes and the things about the good sayings and the quotes and even the ones that I like write and everything and stuff like that, they're all true in their way, but they're not true for everything. And what you said about the middle road is real important, because it's not that everyone has to go through a childhood of a boot camp, but it's also not the case that an overly indulgent childhood isn't also child abuse.
Right.
Right? Because you're weakening, you're fattening the calf. It's a fucking veal now.
Right.
Right? That is also child abuse. Unfortunately, in the society that we live in now, the corporations have gotten so good at marketing to kids to nag the parent and to use parental guilt to make the purchase that I think we're way over on the other side, which is overindulgence. And then you have trust fund baby kids that can't get out of bed at 24 because life's hard.
Man. I don't know that everybody knows about what you're talking about. I don't know that people have walked our path and seen that. Some of the jobs and some of the things you've done.
Yeah.
Maybe in your recovery or in your, you know what I'm saying, in your life.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I've done, we've seen that and been exposed to it.
Yeah. I knew a guy. he was, when I wasn't even an attorney, I was just a fucking, you know, lackey guy doing whatever lackey guys do to make money. This guy was a high-powered attorney, one of the best, gave his fucking brilliance to various clients with big fat sacks of cash. Guy was rich. Mm. I mean real rich. I don't mean like, you know, he had like a nice house. I'm talking about real rich.
Right.
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 Like he doesn't even order, the menu doesn't mean anything to him. And of course it's an extra charge. What I'm thinking is I'm thinking arugula. I'm thinking scramble. You know, like that kind of rich, right?
Yeah.
His son had every advantage, but he was hooked on Oxycontin. Mm. And his son was 20 years old, 21 years old, 22 years old, and basically being babysat, you know, to try to just cope with life. And man, I would spend some time with this person. And it was really hard to break through his resentment towards his dad.
That's fucking, think of, I understand exactly what you're talking about right now.
Right. Like, it's hard to break through it. And on the one hand, as a let's say a supportive friend, you want to validate, because he's saying he was never around. Like, fuck him. Now he cares? He's not even here right now. Where is he now? I've almost died three times. Where is that guy now? He's giving his best to blah, blah, blah.
Right, right, right.
Right? So you want to validate it because there's a truth to it. You're like, yeah.
Is there a resentment also, even if he was around, that that he didn't let him do anything, would you think?
What do you mean by that? Like, explain that.
Like a resentment because you pampered me too much.
Yeah. But what's weird is I've encountered that. Yeah, there was that.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, meaning that, right? The parent was so controlling and so protective.
They couldn't experience anything.
Right. And so, but what was going on there was that it was a weird setup psychologically. It was a weird dependency between son and father in that regard, because the father was always supplying the right answers, always controlling, always trying to guide his child in the idea of like, I'm the best father there is. This is what the best father would do. He would set it all up like this. But what the father was mostly concerned of, and what I think most, a lot of parents I see are concerned of, is how does this reflect on me, right? Well, my child is an extension of my identity.
Man, I'm witnessing that firsthand in some things right now in some people close to me. And I'm really seeing it, what you're talking about right now.
And it's really hard thing to kind of like parse, because it's almost like a situation where you want to throw your hands up and be like, well, look, you guys work it. I can't fucking tell you. Right? Because you guys are so, but the kid too, right? The kid too. In that zone, and by the way, there doesn't have to be wealthy parents that do this stuff.
No.
Right. But the kid's stuck in this weird zone where they know enough to complain because they've been sheltered or corralled, but they're still scared of actually doing it on their own.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Right?
Fuck yeah. I seen this shit, man, firsthand.
And they'll coexist. I'll tell you something else.
Man, miserable looking. It looks so miserable.
It is. I had a client. I won't even say the gender, just to keep it all clean. But this client and this client's parent had been enmeshed like that. And the parent was 90 and the client was 70. The client was morbidly obese, and the parent was still fiddling with the trust and writing things in the trust in the event that the 70-year-old morbidly obese son finds a wife and has kids. How much money do you think they paid me to sit right in front of them and go, you guys are living in a fucking fantasy? That's wake the crazy, fuck up.
Bro.
They paid me no money for that advice. They didn't want that. No.
They wanted to pay a guy big money to co-sign everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Do your job, lawyer man.
Right. What I will tell you is this, bro, is some of the stuff that I've seen, now that you put it in terms like that, I don't know that I would exchange mine for that.
Right, which is
think
worse.
Think about that.
Which is worse.
Think about that.
You're 100% correct about that. I agree with that.
Because I don't know what I'd be suffering from some of those things.
Right. I think in some ways, the negative focus is even still better than total ignoring. I think from what I've seen, it seems like the worst thing that can happen to kids is somehow it's communicated to them that they don't fucking matter and nobody really gives a shit.
Well, isn't there that thing about, and I know this to be true to an extent, I'm not going to throw a blanket on everybody, but you've heard the thing about, like, deep inside a male wants to be rode on some shit, wants to be, you know.
What do you mean? Well, yeah, that's interesting. How do you say it? How would you formulate that?
Well, because in, like, the service and in different places where they have youth authorities, that the psychology is to have them be accountable.
Right.
Because the parent hasn't been accountable.
Or right.
There's nobody there. And like coaches and stuff like that.
Right.
And this is why kids that are in trouble a lot of times really respond to that.
Yes. I think that's correct.
It's in a, like, deep down inside, I did want a father that was going to hold me accountable or that was going to, but not somebody who was just every now and then and a fucking liar and a fucking scumbag and a fucking all these other things and then turning to me and fucking trying to.
That's exactly right.
He just wanted me to just behave. He just wanted me to be quiet and behave.
That's a really valid point. I mean, that's so valid because to some people that would sound like parenting because it's like, oh, well, he's right. But what he's trying to do really is make you not annoy him. Don't.
Exactly, bro. Because with my grandfather, he tried to parent me and he would try and instill things in me.
Right.
And when I got it from my grandfather, I would always leave with a sense of feeling better about myself.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it was coming from a different... Even my grandfather sometimes would tell me things in a loving way, but he'd sit me down and he'd be like, you can't do that.
Right.
You can't. That's not right. And you know what I'm saying? When my dad wasn't around, which was a lot of the time, my grandfather would try and have a talk with me. And my grandfather was a, like I said, a gentleman, class act guy. But he would sit me down and he would get upset with something and be like, man, that's not... You can't do that. You know, and he'd explain it.
Right.
And I'd walk away from those lessons feeling like I gained something, like I wanted to do better.
Right. Okay. That wasn't, I don't know. That wasn't talking to or that wasn't discipline aimed at minimizing your intrusion into his space.
Or trying to scare me.
Right. Well, the scaring is just so like, look, motherfucker, if I look at you, you better freeze. You better not fuck up my game. Versus I'm trying to build a man.
And the fucked up part is that I feel like when my kids were young, I did some of that. I feel like my kids were definitely walking around on some eggshells, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't, you know, I would go as far as to say that, you know, it's been some time since I operated like that or even, but I know when they were young, it was about me, bro. Like I said, you know, I was selfish. It was about me. I had a lot going on. And I just need, you know, I think that I would 50% of the time try to be approachable and explain to them. It's not. But there was an amount of time where I was ignoring them because I was off doing some other shit.
Right.
You know? So I can't completely point it all off if I've somewhat participated in some of that shit in my life.
Well, but you also had kids younger. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine, like, you know, Tigra now, the way that I am now, and plus with all the help that I have.
Opposed to you 22, 23?
Come on. Come on.
Right, yeah.
Come on. It would have been night and day, for sure.
Right, sure.
I mean, how much ridiculing or, like, dressing down do you think I would have done, you know, or if my kid was, like, 14 and acting stupid when I was 28? Or like 32.
Right.
Sean's shaking
his head. What's up?
Come on,
Sean.
We'll say it.
You know what? I was thinking.
Go ahead.
About a story I had when I was in my 30s. And I thought, when I have a kid, you know what I'm going to do? If they fuck up, I'm going to take all their clothes out of their closet. And they're going to have to wear a clown suit, like a one-piece clown suit to school.
What the fuck?
He's like your shoes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he wasn't in trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't even do anything wrong. Right, right, the fucking clown suit.
Yeah, what he did wrong was he was supposed to go to school.
But yeah, I was thinking about, like, that would be a good, you know.
Like wearing a dunce,
straight.
Like a dunce cap.
Right. Yeah, fuck up and they don't.
Where do you get these ideas?
I don't know, man. I was, you know, younger, you know. But now that I have a kid.
Yeah,
you know, that would traumatize him. He'd be fucked up. He'd hate me for a lot. He'd be on a podcast.
Every
Thanksgiving.
He'd be on a podcast. He'd be sitting across and he'd tell the clown suit story.
Right. And he'd say,
about how he had to hide. Up. He had to hide overalls
like
near a fucking.
Listen, I gotta say, man, you know, I do, man. I do love my dad, man. For all the shit we went through and all that. I love my father because he made me, you know, and he, for all the wrong he did, he's a human being. And whatever he went through in his life must have been fucked up. I heard about a lot of it. And he projected a lot of his anger and his frustration and his life on us. Not to say that it was right. But I love him for the fact that he was my father. There were some things I got from my father that were good too.
Sure.
You know, it's not all. I don't ever think it's all one. And my mom, God knows, I love my mother. But as I look at it as an adult and I look through it and as me and my sister talk and engage, like, and having another family, like another mother and father in my life and being able to see how a more healthy family was operating and stuff and have something compared to. I realized that I did grow up in a household where it was really unhealthy, man. And there was a lot of tools that I wasn't lacking. And the way that I was coming at life was like from this really peculiar couple that had a lot of trauma in their lives.
Right.
And I somehow, and not that they gave it to me because they wanted to. They were doing what they were operating exactly how they were supposed to. But me... going through the changes, and I don't know, maybe through recovery, and maybe it's because of getting older, maybe it's because of inventories, maybe it's for self, I don't know, but I've looked at it and been able to separate, man, that was not healthy, and there's no wonder why I was processing things in a certain way and looking through this glass.
Right. I think the purpose of the reflection and thinking through these things is not to alleviate responsibility for us, right? But it's for doing exactly what you're saying, is to understand the mechanism, how, why. It does make you feel a little bit better when you look through it and you go, you know what? It's not a mystery.
No, it's not.
Straightforward.
It is, man. It's very primal in many ways, like 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
Like, I've been clouding it up with my thoughts, but when you see past the cloud, it's very clear, man.
Well, the thing about what we're talking about is that, so it's not just the behavior, but it's like the entire culture of the family you come from, right? And when I say culture, I actually mean the day-to-day way things worked, what each parent said in an offhand manner that might not even be directed at you.
Sure.
Right? But you're just seeing the codes, the language.
Picking it up, storing
it. Exactly. All of that is are justifications and misapplications or substitutions and all the stuff which enables, I'll say bad behavior, but unskillful behavior, let's say.
You are subtly programmed.
Right. So when you are coming through in the beginning, you don't realize these aren't your thoughts.
No. Man, bro. But they feel like they're yours. Yeah. And as you grow into defend them like they're yours.
Right.
Because they feel like they're yours.
Right.
They're innately, you know.
That's so
true. I always tell people, like, you know, if I don't know, you know, I'm a Democrat. Are your parents Democrat? I'm a Republican.
Right.
And they'll defend it and really be about it. And then I've had talks with people. They're like, dude, I was on that because my parents were. But I believed it so deeply. And not even just politics. Like, just other things. And when you really, when I really started to step out, I had taken ownership of something that was they had owned.
Right.
Maybe their parents had owned it.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't even mine. Right. Talks about it in conversations with God, man. Like, it says for you to really, really look and reflect back on what you believe. And are those beliefs even yours? Or did somebody, are you using somebody else's beliefs? It says it in that.
Right.
And that made me really start thinking fucking. And he even goes as far as say, most of the shit you think and believe, you got from somebody else. It's not even yours.
Well, and here's the thing, right? It's embarrassing to admit that it's not your idea.
It's embarrassing, like, to admit I have to take a piss.
Because, like, when you say, no, it's not, I actually got it from my parents and I got the idea by default, then you sound like a fucking lackey. Then you don't sound original. Then you're like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm just a fucking... Yeah, I guess I've been fighting this whole time over some stupid stuff that I just ingested. Wasn't anything I came up with myself.
Did you carry any beliefs from your dad?
Well, I'm a Democrat. He's a Democrat. My grandpa's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. The ones that you carry the most are the ones that you think are yours. Mm-hmm. And it takes a long time. Let me think. Eating meat, hunting, mm-hmm. for sure. A man hunts. A man, money's everything.
Mm.
I got that from my dad.
What was it?
The whole point of food is, because Sean was asking me, what did I get from my dad? I told him, like, my grandpa was a Democrat, my dad's a Democrat, I'm a Democrat. Yeah,
sure.
But that's different.
me too.
No. But what I'm saying is he's asking me about my dad's beliefs. Did I ingested a lot of them, bro?
Well, I mean, I guess we'd ingest everything that they believe. Everything, every. Every ritual that they have, I mean, we are witness to it, and we are...
You're molded in it.
Yeah, exactly.
The way you see, like, a like in the cartoons, when the baby goose, the gosling, right, first thing it sees, it imprints on, and that's its mom,
mm-hmm.
that's what's going on in the house.
For sure.
Yeah. And I at some point in time in my life... I started to reflect on different things. As I started to look at my life as an adult,
yeah.
and really started to investigate,
yeah.
I found that there were times as a child where I was like, that don't seem right.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And as I started as an adult to reflect back, I started adding those up.
Right.
You know, and those are truths that even though you're drinking the Kool-Aid, some things aren't seeming right to you.
Right.
You know they're not. They don't feel right, you know, and those are my truths as an adult, and they were my truths when I first got here as a kid. You know what I'm saying? And those are the things that I align with today. There's a collection of those that I align with because I know them to be my truths. But it's weird, man, because me and you talked about this once.
Mm.
My grandfather had this business at one point in time, and he had... the home, and everything kind of fell apart, and they lost that, and they moved into an apartment and whatever it might be.
Mm.
My dad at one point in time got in a home. We lived in the home for like a year and a half,
right?
And then some shit went south, we lost the home,
right?
And somehow my mom, the way she would come at things or talk was this whole sense of like things aren't going to work out.
Right.
The one is other shoe, and now it would make sense for my mom to have this feeling because she's gone through this with her father and her husband, right?
Totally.
My father kind of had that too, like, you know what I'm saying? So there was this whole like, when the other shoe's gonna drop or when shit's gonna happen.
Expectation of doom.
Right. Like already in me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I was experiencing it in my life with my parents.
Right.
With them together and shit not right and things falling apart. And then we go into foster care, like this up and down wave. And I just kind of started looking back at these things and it's like looking at maybe some sabotage, some self-sabotaging or.
Yeah, I think
those are dangerous fucking thoughts when you think like that.
What's hard about those thoughts, what's dangerous about it is they mask themselves as being a realist.
Exactly, bro.
Do you know how many arguments I get in with close friends or associates and they're going, "I'm just being real." And I'm like, "No, you're being like real negative."
when you're saying realist, the problem is the belief attached to it.
Right.
You believe it's real because you believe it. When you believe something, that has a tremendous amount of power over you, consciously, subconsciously, however you want to put it.
Right.
You know, that's the energy and that's what you're manifesting. And
well, that's what's difficult about the age we live in now, though. That's what's difficult about the time in which we live now, because if you think about it at an individual level.
No, wait, but what I wanted to say was like, we said, did I repeat that shit? I had the houses.
Yeah.
And I too.
Right.
Threw them away.
Right.
I'm just saying like that type of thinking was learned and that, yes.
That's familiar.
It's familiar, but yes, I did do some things and yes, there was drugs and yes, there was that. But the undertone on it was like me fulfilling, self-fulfilling.
Prophecy.
Go ahead.
Doom. No, and I'm saying with that, we live in a difficult time because I don't think we recognize that pessimism is not just an individual problem, it's a cultural problem. So if you're black, or if you're Chicano, or if you're American Indian, or you're a poor white, or whatever, right? Why wouldn't you be pessimistic?
Mm.
Especially, think about your grandfather, right? He would have been around during the Great Depression.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he was.
How would you not be pessimistic when the entire world, I mean, took a shit and people lost everything? People were eating belts. I really think about how poor a huge amount of this whole country was. Hardworking merchants who built up a fucking business and then it's just gone because of fucking hijinks over at the fucking Wall Street. Gone. Dust bowls. Think about the dust bowls that hit the Midwest and the South and knocked all these African Americans just gained their freedom from slavery. And now all the farms are shut down. Everybody's got to go out. That's what the Grapes of Wrath are all about. So this cycle of boom, bust, boom, bust, boom, bust that we think of as the American economy might cause a lot of people to feel pessimistic. And so at the individual level, it gets harder to try to take ownership of your own personal space. Because what I think I'm hearing you say on some level is like, at some point you have to change your inner beliefs, or you gotta believe that it's not all gonna go to shit, or it's your beliefs that is causing the problem.
You know, Denzel Washington said something like that.
Right.
He says that we carry the sins or the something of our fathers, and that we're actually responsible for not passing them on.
So true. So fucking true. That to me is,
and he was talking about as in a society,
I agree,
meaning all of us, you know?
1,000%. Bro, I just finished reading The History of Corporations. I'm not going to go into it now because blah, blah, blah. But I will tell you.
That sounds like a fascinating book.
Listen, bro. First of all, I don't think anybody today, unless you're some fucking pinhead academic, people alive today have no clue how much the British and the Americans hated corporations as they came into existence. How, if you took one of the speeches of the leading politicians about these corporations, they warned about everything that's happening now, 100 and some odd years ago. Everything that's happening today, they said would happen. But what's even crazier, and I'm just going to fucking give you a little Susan.
Susan.
Oh, Susan. But when the Great Depression happened, that's when Ironside's wheelchair-bound Franklin Roosevelt became president. He was president for 3 terms. Think about 12 years, the same man in office. And he created something called the New Deal. And the New Deal was putting a lot of poor people to work, creating all these jobs, right? And then also oversight on corporations and monopolies. Just like January 6th, there was a plot to overthrow the president. And it was led by some of the biggest names in corporation history. And it's known, verified. The guy they selected, I'm just going to give you his name, Schmedley Butler.
Schmedley.
Fucking name is that?
When, if you, when I'll tell you the real story at someday, okay, about how they almost took over the presidency and who the patriot was and how it was stopped. Comment, it's public knowledge. If you wanted to find it, you can find it right now, but they don't talk about it anymore, whatever. Very similar to what you saw just happen back in January 6th. Similar. And it was the corporations that led the charge.
Fuck.
Oh, you bastard. It was almost good.
Man, that's perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, fucking bowling shoe story. I love that. Every time you talk about your childhood, I love it.
Fuck, man. Well, listen, and by the way, man, I mean, let me just tell you guys real fast. I'm going to plug 7-Eleven at Motor in Venice.
Yeah.
I go in there, go get a cup of coffee.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know what coffee is at 7-Eleven. They got these machines set up, and you press the button. It's not the ones that make the cappuccinos and everything. It's just coffee and espresso. All right. And you press it, and it brews out brews out coffee upon order, but it does it fucking badass. Then there's an espresso machine. Get a double or single, strong. So I made a fucking cup of real fucking fresh coffee with a black eye. I made it myself in there.
Nice.
Bro, this was better than any. This was like fucking great, great, great coffee. I made 2 of them. What are these fucking things? These are fucking like, I don't know, fucking 60 ounces or some shit. I made 2 of them, dude.
They call that the Widowmaker.
Bro. I drank that. So excuse me, everybody, for fucking getting up and having to fucking piss every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I had 2 of these bad boys. And
you
a fucking
piss. Don't act like you don't piss.
Yeah, don't act like that with me. Anyways, shout out to 7-Eleven. The new
Fuck Howard Schultz.
Fuck Howard Schultz. For this right in the side of the neck. What do you got, Chumahan?
Ovanda Bone, LLP. We wear braids to court. Let the tomahawks fly. The best legal representation of money can buy.
Hear that, man.
www.movemental.media. Also, don't forget, please don't forget, check us out at hardluckshow.com. That's hardluckshow.com.
Check us out at...
I had to find the camera. I was like, where's the camera?
Oh. Hardluckshow.com.
Hardluckshow.com. There's all kinds of shit over there.
You just drink it. Yeah. And then, right, coming soon... Sean Allen Lewis business cards.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're going to be in a business card making?
I'll have them in a month.
I can't wait. Yeah. We're going to show the audience his official business card.
Awesome, man.
Don't do that. What about Guerrero Fitness? When are you going to do that?
Yeah, when is that happening?
I'll hit him up. I just joined his Instagram.
I love it.
I'll hit him up.
I love it. We got covered.
There's a lot more commitment than that part. It's a program that we're paying for.
Whatever. Yeah, we're going to give him
busy.
Shit. We're
going
to give him shit, and then he's going to have six packs because he's working with Guerrero.
Hey, he just said he was busy. I know the guys that are working for Guerrero and that are winning, they're real busy, too.
Yeah, but I just shit out.
Landscaping businesses.
I just shit
and
out like nine fucking podcasts in the last week. So
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, no, he's fucking all multitasking
right.
this
All right, and a single dad. I mean, okay, so, hey.
Okay.
Yeah.
With big shorts.
Yes, big shorts. Well, listen, Sean, I'm glad. And I'm glad, and I believe you. I do believe you, bro. I do. I know. But we're going to stay on par with this thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right?
That's
okay.
Great.
All
right, yeah.
good.
That's great.
SupermaxHardware.com. Check out some tanks, and some new snapbacks.
Yeah.
Cookies. Cookies. Go at CookiesSF. Check us out on Instagram.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Burner and the Cookies team. Vibes,
Big
Rolling
Burn.
Papers. At Vibes Papers. And Candle Buds. And shout out to Esteban Oreo. Go check out Esteban Oreo.
Pulpo.
And Pulpo Beard Oil.
Pulpo Beard Oil.
Shout out to Calco.
Yeah.
Instagram Jesus.
Dude. Killing it.
Instagram Jesus. What's up, man?
Yeah. Jesus.
What's up,
killing
dude?
Killing it, bro.
Yeah, he's the man.
You are the man.
That's it, man. Always listen to the Hard Luck Show on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and we will see you later. We're out of here.
Adios.
Adios.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.